Blog Talk Radio.
Like every program, is dedicated to the
men and women of the armed forces and the police and fire services. And tonight we want to also dedicate it to a good friend of ours, Alex Cobb, a pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. As you know, we cover all the sports down here. Alex was hit in the head with a line drive this afternoon. At last word, he was taken to Bayfront Medical Center, which is the trauma center for the St. Pete area. We wish Alex and a speedy recovery, and for his wife and children, we wish you all the best of luck. Well, we got a really tight show here tonight, Tito. We got some good friends coming back to talk to us. We've got Eddie Chambers is coming to talk about his upcoming fight. Joey Tabiri had a fight lined up for Thursday, but that's been pushed back a week. And Sugar Ray, the new Sugar Ray, is going to come on with us at the latter part of the show to talk about the show that he was in for the 27th. It's now been pushed back to August 2nd by Dave Tabiri and his wonderful group of Champions Plus. So how was your week, okay?
Oh, my week is fine. My week was lovely. And good. It's good to be back here. Every day's a blessing, especially the days when I'm with my Fighting Words family.
There you go. And, of course, our illustrious film producer seems to be off again tonight. We're going to have to cut his salary back. I think we have to cut it in half.
Yeah, he's busy working on his documentary. Hard at work on his, well, you know, his first love is boxing, so I guess I'll call that his second career.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and call Dr. Chris at the mic open tonight because we won't be able to have a dialogue between you guys for the thing. So we never know how that's going to get answered, but let's give him a try anyway.
All right.
Well, Z, we got, you know, our other good friend and my lunch buddy, Mr. Brian Minto, is fighting tonight.
Oh, all right, all right.
Yeah.
Who would he be fighting, do you know?
He's fighting in Poland, and he's fighting a guy by Nyack. I didn't know the name, but Brian was excited about it when he was down here.
That's good.
He is coming back from shoulder surgery.
Oh.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Frank, how are you?
We're doing good.
Is the show starting?
Yeah, we're on the air right. We're live now.
Oh, look, Frank, I'm leaving the driving range. I'm in the car. I'll be home in 2 minutes. Can you call me? Give me 5 minutes.
Yeah, we'll call you back.
Home?
Yeah, we'll get Eddie Chambers on the line while we're waiting for you.
All right. See you.
Okay.
Butch, did you...
like I said, you never know where where Chris is going to be.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know for the most part he's going to be on the driving range.
Sure. Yeah, he is a scratch golfer, and I kid him about it a lot, and I always love to play golf with him because he's just as vibrant and as jovial when he's out on the course as he is. He don't care what you shoot, he's going to shoot his game, and it's always a good game, and always I love to especially play in long ball with him because he just cracks the ball.
Well, we got. If he feels any way about golfing the way he feels about fighting, then you better watch out.
Yep. Hey, how about the upcoming Povetkin and Klitschko fight? What do you think about that one?
Well, I know Povetkin has been, touted to fight Klitschko before. Mm-hmm. And even Teddy Atlas came in to train Povetkin for a while to get him ready to fight Klitschko. That didn't mm-hmm. work out. So, mm-hmm. But now Povetkin does have a shot. I don't see him beating Klitschko, but, I mean, it could be interesting. I mean, yeah. It could be.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna dial in Eddie on this one now. It's October 5th that they're gonna be boxing, so that should be. They say the Polish word for it was homowo. Still done. That should be a. Eddie's got a pretty tough fight coming up here.
You have reached the voicemail box of 10931.
Don't want to give that number away on the air.
Oh, goodness. Oh, but
yeah.
Hello. Did you happen to catch the Alfredo Angulo Arizlande Lara fight last week?
No, I was on nights this week, so I didn't get a chance to see a whole lot of stuff.
Oh, all right. Right. Well,
how'd that go?
To be honest, it was a very, very good fight. Very entertaining. Arizlande Lara, it seemed, had trouble keeping Alfredo Angulo off of him.
Wow.
Yeah. Arizlande, he could hit him. He hit Angulo pretty well.
Uh-huh.
He gave him the straight left a lot. But
uh-huh.
Angulo seemed to take it and keep coming. And he was laying punishment on Arizlande Lara. They both were hitting the body. But
uh-huh.
it seemed like Arizlande Lara was a little, he got to being a little skittish, a little more running, more feet, more on his feet. And
uh-huh.
it seemed like Angulo was wearing him down, reeling him in.
Mm-hmm.
Until Arizlande Lara hit him with a shot to his orbital bone and apparently
mm-hmm.
broke his orbital bone. You could see the disfigurement when he sat on the stool because Angulo just quit. He
mm-hmm.
hit him with the shot, Angulo waved his glove and just walked to his corner.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. But it was a very, very entertaining fight.
But you know, another I know that was this week was what's his name, Joseito Lopez. That was a real firefight with him and Marcus Madonna.
Madonna. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I happened to catch that one too.
Yeah.
It was a firefight for a minute or two, but it
mm-hmm.
looked like Marcus Madonna started to outbox Joseito. Lopez just kind of couldn't take it.
Yeah.
and he got battered until it was done. He was on
the you know, when they took a look at the scorecards afterwards, it was like he was way behind. It was 48-47 on both. On the third card was 48-46. So he wasn't going to go. He had no chance of doing anything.
Yeah, it was going downhill for him.
Mm-hmm.
It just ended in a battery.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about Lara and Angulo? Did we just talk about that one?
I'll tell you what. Angulo, he doesn't lose anything from it. He doesn't
mm-hmm.
lose anything from it. I mean, as tough as a guy he is, that punch would have stopped anybody. Mostly anybody. I can't talk for everybody, but most fighters, to be honest, I mean, he punched his head disfigured. He punched his
mm-hmm.
orbital bone to the point you could almost see it bulging from the side of his head.
Mm-hmm.
And but his account of himself, because I thought that he would get cleanly outboxed.
Mm-hmm.
And his toughness and account of himself, he's still rudimentary,
mm-hmm.
but he's getting cleaner, he's getting tighter, and he's getting more focused on his offensive game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that. And Lara doesn't lose anything because he took a little bit of a beating.
Uh-huh.
He took a little bit of a beating, and he stood in, he did what he had to do, and he delivered the shot to end the fight. So really, no guy loses any account for himself.
Right.
I think it actually might, if Angulo heals properly, it might increase his style.
Yeah.
I know he should sell a whole lot of tickets now. That guy's wonderful to watch.
Sure. And and on the other side of the coin, we had the IBF stripped Sanchez of his belt because he couldn't make weight. That puts what's that do? What do you think that does for Soto?
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I'm not sure. It could. I don't know. There's another title out there that they'll throw out.
I know that Chris has something to say about the titles that are out there on some of the fights. He was talking this afternoon. He says, you know, he was watching. He watched some fights on TV this last week, and he said there's actually 13 titles out there that guys are going for. He says it's just nuts. I'll let him. You know, he likes to have his own little volcano, so I'll let him talk about that one. But we did want to mention again August 2nd at the Bob Carpenter Center, which is down on the University of Delaware's campus. It's just right off 75 on, 796, I believe?
896,
okay. 896, yeah. It's right on 896 and 95. So it's easy to get into, easy to get out of. Traffic always moves out of there real fast. The Newark and the University Police do a great job of moving crowds for football games, basketball games, and they'll do it for this too. So if anybody's up in the Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania area, New Jersey area that has a love for fights, this would be a great night. He's got a good card set up, and Davey's going to be on with us next week to talk about his card and about some of his fighters that are coming on. And in fact, we're going to bring live Joey Tiberi, his nephew, who is fighting on a card for what's his name out of Philadelphia, Damian Feldman. Damian Feldman's group on the 27th of this month. So he's fighting at the Deck in Essington, Pennsylvania. And then, as I said, Sugar Ray Robinson will be, or the new Sugar Ray Robinson will be fighting August 2nd at the Carpenter Center. So I'm going to try and get Eddie on the phone here again and let Eddie talk about his new fight.
You have reached the voicemail box of 610-931.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to have to wait for Eddie to come on. We'll get the – let's go to Joey Tiberi and let him talk. What do you think about Marcus Huck got another win on his under his belt, huh?
Yeah, not impressed. I mean – not impressive competition, but
yeah.
We'll see where it goes. Marcus Huck, he's a big guy. We'll see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Got a little problem with the board. All right, here we go. We're trying to get Joey now.
Oh,
Joe?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you? It's Frank.
Good, how you doing?
Frank and Zito are on with you, and you're on live with us. And we just talked about you, and you know how proud we are to have you on here again, and how proud we are of the Tiberi name, and we'd like to get caught up with you on your new venture that's coming up at the end of the month. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, first off, it's my pleasure you guys having me on the show. I always love talking to you guys. I'm fighting for Damon Feldman. He's making his comeback into the pro boxing game because he was doing a celebrity thing for a while, and this is his first actual like pro event. He's doing that at the Deck in Philadelphia. It's in Essington, and he's got Tim Witherspoon on there, Alex Barboza. I'm on the card. Tyrone Crawley. I can't remember who else is on there because two guys got hurt in the card and they had to replace them. But I'm fighting with his card on June 27th, and then I think he's trying to go back and throw something back in sometime in July. And then August we're supposed to be pretty busy. August 2nd is at the Bob Carpenter Center, and then August 23rd is at Dover Downs. So
nice.
if that all stays as it's supposed to, we should be pretty busy for the summer. But you know, I don't know. Can't really look past any of them, so you know we're just worried about June 27th right now.
Sure. You want to tell us how are you training for this fight? Any different than any other fight?
Nah, I mean I work on you know every fight. I always try to do something different, like you know incorporate my road work differently, and you know start out. You know I just do different like same stuff, but just different order, and you know just mix it all up. I don't ever try to train the same because I always end up fighting different every fight, and I always try to work on something from the last fight, and then that's the good thing about boxing. You're never going to be perfect with it. You always have something to work on. So it's just, I just always try to stay on top of it and always just try to keep everything in balance, intact with everything.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you've moved your scorecard now to 9-1 with 5 knockouts. Who would you say the hardest fight, would you say, was Hoffman, Molina, or Manley?
Actually, I would say probably Jonathan Ocasio, because at the time he was getting way better work than I was. That was before. After that fight, I was actually starting to get in with like Victor Vasquez, and you know that's when I started going to Philly after that fight. And he was training with Angel Ocasio and Victor Vasquez, and he's from Philly, and he was in there with all their camps, so he was getting a lot better sparring. I thought that was my toughest fight just because he was in there with them guys. And then once I was able to get in touch with Victor and start going up there, you know what I mean, I met some connects and I was going to Jersey and then you know, I have people in Philly. So now I was able to upgrade my sparring to get more experience off of him. Like Victor's been in the ring with everybody. So, I mean, that just sets you a whole, you know, I just learned so much from him. So, I mean, that was definitely was my toughest fight.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, your style, I mean, you've always been a fast in, fast out guy, and you know, finish him off by 4 rounds and nothing else. Are you going to change your style on this one, or how would you be?
You know, it's weird. Like the beginning of my career, I like to. I always thought like if you know people usually feel each other out in the first round. I always thought if I could just jump on them, they wouldn't expect it. And if I catch them with a couple shots, you know, I could finish them off. I'm trying to get back to that because I really like that. I don't know how I'm really going to do it like that though, because we've been working a lot more on like body punching and throwing more combos, and you know we're supposed to be moving up in rounds here, so I don't really know how that's all going to work because I haven't fought a 6 rounder yet. So I mean, I don't know if that you know how I would really incorporate that into a 6 round fight or anything like that. So we'll have to see once we get our first 6 rounder and see you know how it all goes from there. We can incorporate that into our game plan.
Yeah, this will be your first 6 rounder.
I'm not sure if they are giving me a 6 rounder. They said they were, but there was a lot of confusion with the because originally I was supposed to fight at the Bob Carpenter Center. That was the 28th.
Right.
And then I told them I wasn't going to fight on the 20th. Then the Bob Carpenter Center got moved to August, and then I got put back on the 20th, and then they moved it back to the 27th. So it's been a lot of confusion because when I was on the Bob, I had like 5 weeks away. So I wasn't really training for the 20th, which was only, I think, 3 weeks away at the time. And I was, you know, I was just focusing on, you know, I wasn't really sparring like I should have been if I was fighting on the 20th. And then I switched it around, and I just told him to give me a four rounder just to play it safe because I mean I was feeling good for a four rounder, but it's my first six. I didn't want to rush it just to have a six round fight. So, and now I got pushed back a week. So I don't know what's going on. I'm just gonna, you know, I'm just ready for whatever they tell me.
Z, you got any questions?
Yes. What do you see any weaknesses in your style or anything, and how would you change them?
I don't know if it would, you would say, I guess you could say weakness. I mean, you're always going to lack, I feel like you're always going to have something that you could always work on. So, I mean, it's, like I said, it's always different every fight. Like, I've been working on my jab and my left hooks and my body punch, and that's what I've really been focusing on. You know, I mean, I feel like my right hand's there, my right hook's there, everything else is there, but I've really been working on my jab, and everything obviously comes off the jab, so I've been really working on establishing a real solid, powerful jab, and just trying to incorporate my quickness in with my power and just being able to box. And then if I have to, you know, mix it up a little bit, brawl a little bit, you know, we're able to do both. And just, I've been working a lot on my footwork too. So, I mean, it's always something that, you know, it's always a couple of things I always try to keep in the back of my mind and not over train on just one thing. I always try to keep everything in portion just so I can, you know what I mean, be well-rounded.
All right. And I know the sparring helps with that, definitely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Guys, I just want to update you. I'm getting an update on Alex Cobb. He seems to be he's responding to the questions of the physicians and neurologists. He seems to be coming around. It's not as serious as they first thought. So we send our best wishes out to Alex and, like I said, to his family. They're great people. Joey, joining us on the line here is as a friend of your family's for many years and a good friend of all of ours, Dr. Chris Panarella.
How you doing, guys?
How you doing?
I just learned how to hit the golf ball straight, so that means I'm having a good day. I watched the Open this week. I went up to watch the Open. I had a good day up there. So
good.
I'm sitting out here in 80-degree weather. It's beautiful.
Yep.
How you doing, good. Joey?
Good. How you doing?
All right. How's your dad?
You know, he's busy. My mom got him running all the time.
I know. The man never slows down.
He's good.
Tell him I said hello?
Yeah. I don't even know where he's at. He should be around here somewhere. Hold on real quick.
Well, we got a...
I don't know. I don't think he's here. I don't know where he's at. I'll tell him that.
That's fine.
He's probably a church.
When's your next fight, Joey?
June 27th.
Okay. So this week I watched three boxing shows on a Friday night, one from Pittsburgh, a rerun, one from a casino somewhere, and then a Friday night fight. So I said, my God, the guy was 12-0 and he was fighting for a title. So hang in there, man. You don't have any more to go, do you?
I don't know. I don't want to rush it, but I mean.
There's a lot more money in it today than when your father and uncles were in it, I could tell you that.
Yeah.
Your dad had a lot of quality fights, and he got paid nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He fought some great fighters. I mean, he went up and took them all on. You know, guys with 25-0 records and beat them, and I'd be lucky to get $3,000. Now, a guy, you fight a guy with that record, oh, God, you quadruple it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, wish you luck, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, just stay away from Matisse. Don't, if they offer you a cut, stay away from him. My elbow hurts. My arm hurts.
He's not going to want that until the end of the year, Chris.
Yeah, really.
It was Carmen Graziano. Yeah, get in there, get in there. Carmen will throw you right in there with him. Every one of Carmen's fighters was invincible, but you know, he'd throw you in against anybody. My God. He got your dad some tough fights.
That's what I heard.
Boy. Yeah, he got your dad into some tough ones. Mm-hmm. So he was known for that his whole managing career. He pushed Len Matthews too quick and got him killed against Carlos Ortiz, who eventually became the champion. And Matthews was, you know, like 10th ranked. He didn't have any business. You know, but Carmen threw him in there. Of course, then he had Girardello who had an iron chin. It didn't matter. If he made a mistake, you know, he just absorbed a punch and go on. Eventually he would win, but what a hand, karma was something. So what's hot in the boxing world? What's going on as far as the who's on tonight, guys?
Tonight is
anybody?
I know Mikey Garcia and Juan Manuel Lopez are fighting tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, those fights last week were sensational. They were great.
Oh yeah.
You know, the Madonna fight was a great fight. The fight on the card before that was a good fight. There was a fight on another channel. That was a good fight. It came on later, HBO After Dark. That was a good fight. Man, it was a boxing delight. Did Charlo win that fight against Hopkins? I figured he did.
What's that?
One of the Charlo brothers.
Oh.
Did he get a decision against Hopkins?
He was fighting a
guy named Hopkins, but it wasn't.
Yeah, Demetrius Hopkins.
Charlo won. Yeah, I figured he won. He was dominating the fight. I forget what happened. I forget why I didn't watch the last two rounds or something. I had to do something, but yeah, he didn't look as impressive against Hopkins as he did against the kid he fought the fight before that. Hopkins, he's kind of dangerous, and he's crafty. He knows what he's doing. He'll make you look bad. He'll catch you with a right hand. If you make a mistake, he'll catch you with something. He moves around good. He has you off balance all the time. You know?
Yeah.
Well. Hey, Joe, you said you were going to Damien had some fights for July and and August. You won't be doing. Will you be doing on any of those cards?
Well, he's only doing July, as far as I know.
Oh, okay.
My Uncle Dave is supposed to be doing the one to Bob, and then Dover Downs has their own thing. So,
great.
I don't know really what his schedule is. I haven't really talked to him past this one yet. I mean, I thought he mentioned something about July, but I didn't confirm that. I mean, yeah, that's what he said. So I'm just playing it by ear. You know, go for this one, and then once this one's all done, said with him, go from there.
Do you know who you
know
be fighting on at the Bob?
No, I don't even know who I'm fighting on this one yet, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not even sure.
Okay. We got, Chris, do you have any questions other than personal questions for Joey?
Well, I want to tell Joey one time. Bring back memories.
I hear this guy.
One time there was a guy in Philadelphia, his name was Moon Mullins. He was 14-0 with 14 KOs, and he wanted to put on a fight in Philly. So who does Carmen select? Your father. Get your father up there. Now, we're in the dressing room. Mullen says, nobody's going to beat me. I'll kill this Tiberi, So Elvin's there. He said, you better pay attention to what you're doing because you're going to get a surprise. And your dad knocked him out, and he never fought again. He became a bodyguard for Mayor Good, and the guys after that. He became a bodyguard, but he was touted to be the next champion of the world, the hardest puncher, blah blah blah. And your dad took him right out. He didn't have a chin. That's all. I found out he didn't have a good chin. You know, ask your dad about that fight.
What was his name?
Moon Mullins.
Okay.
Ask him about Moon Mullins. The guy was a devastating puncher. Your dad was on a roll. He beat a guy 25-0, 26-0, and then Mullins was 14-0. In about a four-month period, Carmen threw him in with those three fighters, and he beat all of them. One guy was a middleweight champion of New England, it shocked everybody. Everybody was shocked, Joe. But when Joe knocked out Mullins, I was shocked. I said, man, that guy was a killer. Ask him about it.
Hey, guys.
Listen, Joe, you gotta get some old tapes of Willie Pep.
Okay.
see if he can imitate him. Yeah. He danced around the ring all night. And he didn't get his hair messed up in 10 rounds. Still the same part, Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just kidding. You guys don't get a chance to see the old fighters. They don't put anything on television. They don't have any reruns of the old fighters. And it's a shame. Your dad will remember all those guys. Matter of fact, Willie Pep turned to training, and he brought some fighters down from Hartford. Then he just got old. Really got he got old. He had like 236 fights. Can you
imagine guys,
that?
We're joined with by another one of Dave Tiberi's fighters, the new Sugar Ray Robinson.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing good.
How you doing, guys?
Ray, we've got...
You're going to get a lot of comments from the crowd when you announce that name. You know that.
That's right.
Have you heard them already?
Yeah, that's true.
You're going to get the crowd a lot to talk about when you come up here. The new Sugar Ray Robinson.
No sugar. The new Ray Robinson. It's the new
Ray Robinson.
No sugar.
Well, I'm used to saying sugar. I'm used to saying sugar. Back in the 50s, everybody took the name on Sugar, the Sugar Ray campaign. Sugar Ray, there was 1,000 of them running around. Sugar Ray something, Sugar Ray. Everybody wanted to be Sugar Ray. He had a pink Cadillac, a big pink Cadillac convertible. He was a showman. Sugar Ray Robinson was a showman in and out of the ring. Yeah, he was something. Yeah, he had a Cadillac. You know, they came in maroon, blue, black, and maybe mint green. So he went out and had it painted pink. And it was all on all the TV shows. Him and his pink Cadillac. He was a showman. I mean, an all around showman. He used to dance on TV. He was
a great tap dancer.
What's that?
I said he was a great tap dancer.
Yeah, he could tap dance. He did the shuffle too. Bo Jangles Robinson used to do. There's a name out of the past you don't remember, but he used to do. It was like a soft dance. He used to do them both. You know?
Oh, okay.
It was hard to be a good tap dancer in that era. There were so many great ones, you know.
Yeah, true.
But he came. He was all right. He wasn't like the Step Brothers though.
Ray, tell us about how you've been doing since last week. Time we talked, we just talked to Joey about his upcoming things, and as soon as we get this done, we're going to talk to Joey about what he's been doing since last time we talked to him. But bring us up to date.
Just me staying in shape, me waiting for that phone call. I believe the next date is on the 2nd, August 2nd.
Yes.
So I will be getting ready for that. My weight is down low, staying in shape, and just working on, you know, getting better as a fighter. So always can, you know, always room to improve, and you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who you're going to be fighting down there yet?
Nope, I don't. I don't know, but it's just something how I train. It really doesn't matter. I still got to put the hard work in. If mm-hmm. the guy's 100 and zero to, or he's zero and 100, I still got to put the work in and work hard.
Okay. So you extended your win record to 15-2 with 6 knockouts. Who do you think was your toughest opponent?
I think I really never ducked no one. I think I had some tough fighters. Darnell Giles, Sean Porter. I fought that one other kid. I can't think of his name right now. So I fought, if you look at, you know, my background, I fought a lot of tough fighters.
Morales. Yeah, Alberto
Morales.
Or was it Doel Carrigiulo?
And that was a strong guy.
Yeah.
And me knocking out, what's the name? The bronze medal Olympian, Terrence Coffin.
Uh-huh.
He had a great background. Yeah, so.
Uh-huh.
Who's your trainer?
I actually just switched trainers. My other trainer, it was Moses, but he just retired, so I got Bozy now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joey, who's yours?
My dad.
What's he working on?
What's he working on?
Yeah,
with me?
On? What's he...
My jab in the left hook.
Left hook?
Yeah.
Good. I'll tell you what, it takes you 6 months to learn how to throw a good left hook. If you're taught prop, it takes you 6 months. And then after that, you don't want to throw anything else but left hooks. Then you get left hook crazy. So make sure you don't do that. You got a good right hand?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I have a bad one.
Yeah, well, you got to mix them up. Yeah. Left hooks, and once you learn the left hook, it's very hard. A great left hooker, it's hard to block that left hook. It's hard to block, especially, you know, years ago, everybody used to stand sideways. They used to set an angle, and the hook would come in and catch you somewhere, in the chest or the face, on the glove. It would knock you off balance, and then would set your right hand up, you know? And then if you lead with the right hand, you got to throw a left hook behind it because you're vulnerable, very vulnerable. You see what happened to Adonis hit the light heavyweight champ with that real quick?
Chad Dawson.
Yeah.
First round.
Yeah. Got a little lazy, didn't bring his right hand back. Bigler came right in, bam! I didn't think he could hit that hard, that kid. I never heard of him, to be honest with you. I never heard of him.
He didn't have a bad record, though. He was 21-1 and with 17 knockouts. Chad Dawson just didn't take him serious enough from the looks of it.
Hell, he got out there, he was a little like
just... Go ahead.
I heard that kid, he could punch. I heard he was strong.
The one that knocked out Dawson.
And Stevenson was moving up. He was moving up from 168 to the 175 mark to fight him, but apparently he brought that power with him. So,
yeah, 76 seconds of the first round.
He had a
hard, a tough start, and was in jail for a while, and he got a late start. He wants to move up fast because he's getting a late start, and I didn't know what his record was. I don't remember when the fight came on. I didn't see the record and all that. I know he was a lot shorter than the other fighter. He was a lot shorter.
Yeah.
Well, he's big enough for a light heavyweight.
But
what did he weigh in that night?
Just like you were saying, Chris.
What did they weigh in that night? Did he weigh in? He was close to his weigh-in weight of 175. He didn't gain much, did he? I don't think he was too heavy.
No.
I think he's about 5'10", isn't he?
Is he about
5'10"?
5'10", 5'11", somewhere around there, yeah.
Somewhere, yeah. He wasn't a tall fighter.
No.
But he stepped in, boy. See what he does. Right. There's a lot of fights in that weight division for him.
Let me ask you, I got all you guys on here, and everybody, we're talking about this. He called it right after the fight. He called out Bernard Hopkins and Andre Ward. Let's start with Ray. Who do you think he would give him the best fight, and what are his chances?
I think Andre Ward is like way too smart for him. I think Andre Ward will pick him apart. And the same thing with Bernard. Them two names he called is big names, and I just don't see him winning or landing that type of shot on neither of them guys.
No. How about you, Chris?
Well, talk is cheap. He's fighting. He wants to make money, so he calls them out, stir up some controversy and some interest. And those guys, don't forget, they're still really – Andre Ward is really a 168-pounder. He's not really a light heavy.
Right.
Even though he beat his best weight's 168. The other guy probably can't make 168 again.
Yeah.
I don't think Adonis could make it. Depends on what Andre Ward would want to come in at. But I think Andre Ward is just too smart for him.
Yeah.
The only chance the other guy would have is an outside puncher's chance,
Yeah.
Has Andre Ward ever been down?
No.
I don't think so.
Uh-uh.
I don't think. I never saw him go down.
No.
Yeah.
No, I saw him buzzed a little bit.
Yeah.
Not every day.
How about you, Joey? What do you think?
I mean, I agree with both of them. I probably wouldn't even watch that fight if he fought either one of them. I don't think he's ready for that. But I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
What do you guys think about Mayweather and Alvarez?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think so too. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. It could be good, but one thing and I don't like is Alvarez can be too patient. He could be patient and try to look for his shots. And you can't pose against Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, he has a tendency to lay back and look for an opportunity. He's not going to find any against Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to find, Mayweather's not going to make a mistake. You know, and then when Alvarez backed off of in his last fight, when he wasn't aggressive, he didn't go for a knockout, and he stung that guy a couple. I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. Mm-hmm. I saw a little bit, when you got a guy hurt, you got to go after him and get him out of there because he'd come back and kill you the next round. You got to go after him. And he didn't do that against Austin Trout. Yeah, he didn't do that. And I was disappointed. I was disappointed in the fight. I mean, I thought Trout should have got the decision.
What do you think,
you
Ray?
Know?
Ray, what do you think?
I think Floyd's going to beat him. I think a lot of people are hyping it up. I just think it's going to be another easy night for Floyd. The same thing with that guy was saying. You just got to have killer instincts. You get a guy hurt, you got to get him out of there and or try to anyway or put your foot on the pedal. But like they were saying, sometimes he can, you know, sit around and try to wait for the perfect shot. And you know, everybody know how Floyd is. With that shoulder, you know, it's hard to, you know, he barely makes mistakes. So it would be, I think it's going to be a long night for him, for Alvarez.
Yeah. Z?
Man,
he
throws left hooks to the body from a stand-up position. And he's very vulnerable to right hands, Alvarez is. I think Mayweather's going to expose that. The odds will show you. The odds will be very much in Mayweather's favor.
Yeah. Z, what do you think? You're a technician.
I already said that Alvarez, I think he poses a little too much. He looks to set up his shots. Now, if he gets aggressive, he's a big guy. He's going to be bigger. And he's relatively tough.
Mm-hmm.
Very tough. You keep getting hit with sharp shots. You could put what I like to call putting your hands in your pocket. You tend not to let your hands go. And Floyd, he does have a tendency to stunt your offense. And with that being said, if you're going to already stunt your offense, then you have a problem with Floyd. So I think it's going to be purely on what Canelo does,
mm-hmm.
on if he wants to put his foot on the gas. Because he's capable of making it a rough fight. But I just don't think, I don't understand if it's in his boxing makeup at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you guys another question. We had an undefeated champion, Yoris Gamboa, have to go a whole 12 rounds to take Darley Perez down. Do you think that was a good outing for him or a bad outing for him? Let's start with Ray.
Honestly, I wish I would have seen just way more action from Gamboa. I changed the channel a couple of times. I wasn't, you know, very. It was a very tough fight. I think that, you know, I would have liked to see, you know, more from Gamboa, especially, you know, he got that type of background of, you know, the Olympics and, you know, different type of things. But I don't know. I wasn't too pleased by it. I wasn't a big fan of it.
How about you, Joey?
I didn't even watch it. I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch it.
Chris?
It was a dull fight, Frank. It was dull. There was other fights to choose. Guys were moving that TV around that night.
Yeah.
Everybody I knew just turned it the hell off and went. I think there was a, you know, something else on. It was a kind of a dull fight. It was a counterpunch night, and it was dull. I didn't care for the fight. You know. I tell you, I do like that other lightweight from Cuba, that smaller guy.
With
the long name. What's his name? What the hell is his name?
Wait, he's like the pitbull guy?
Rigondeaux.
Yeah, the guy that fought the Filipino.
That guy is smart.
I mean, for 12 pro fights, look out. That guy is smart.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of ring savvy, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to be hard to beat. I'd like to see him fight again. He's enjoyable. He's very enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I agree. He's fast, strong,
you know?
Got the killer instinct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he's very smart, very smart. Knows when to move in and when to move out, you know, and how to, you know, and he created that fight. He took advantage of Dinero coming in straight in and popped him a couple good times. He knew how to get away from his right hand. I mean, he was very impressive, that kid.
Yeah. What about you, Joey?
What's that?
Yeah. How about you? What do you think of that?
Who are we talking about?
We're talking about Dinero.
I agree with everybody. I mean, he's definitely going to be tough to beat. I just want to see. I want to see him step it up and get some action-packed fights, because I think he definitely puts on a show. I mean, he proved himself. I definitely watched him fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like watching him. I learned a lot just watching him.
Zeke?
Yeah, I think if you want to study a boxer, study Rigondeaux right now, in his prime. What should be his prime. Because this guy has 400 amateur fights. It's a shame you hadn't been pro sooner.
Joey, you know what, Joey? It's a shame that you don't have some quality. You need some quality sparring partners. You learn more in a damn gym from good quality sparring than you do from anything. A guy like that with that, you know, getting in the ring with him as a sparring partner, you'd learn so much.
I agree.
That's how Bernard. Bernard Hopkins was your uncle's sparring partner. When they brought him to the gym, Davey brought Bernard with him to train for the middleweight title fight. And Bernard learned a lot off of Dave. I mean, just learning, you know, to sit back and box. And then he went on. I don't think Bernard had 5 pro fights while he was serving as a sparring partner for Davey. But that's how you learn. You got to get great sparring. Great sparring. I mean, there's, you know, I don't know if there's a lot around Wilmington anymore. Do you go to Philly to spar? Where are you spar, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I mix up. I go to Vineland. Go to Cherry Lane.
I go to
Jersey.
Vineland got any fighters over there?
I think last time I was there they did, but I think they moved gyms. I think Vineland went down. They did. They're moving all around over there. But I got a couple guys' numbers, and I just go wherever they're at. I don't really, they move
mm-hmm.
around a lot, so I mean, I just have their number
and
get hold of them.
Vineland was a hot spot in the years ago when your dad was fighting. It was a
mm-hmm.
hot spot. You'd walk in that gym, you had the light heavyweight, Richie Cates, light heavyweight champion, you'd have 3, 4, 5 good welterweights around, light heavyweight. It was a very active gym. And Marty Feldman brought some fighters over. Carmen Graziano had a whole stable there of great fighters. Vic Papa, Tough Tony from West Philly. Can't think of his name. He had a 191 pounder. Christ, the gym was loaded with fighters. Vic Valentino, tough as nails. But that was a hot gym. And your dad used to go over there all the time, spar there on weekends. Mario didn't go over there too much. Mario stayed in Wilmington, and different guys would come around. St. Anthony's to spar with him. Your Uncle Mario was one hell of a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have any film? Did you ever see any films of any of his fights?
Not too much, nah.
Great right hand, great jab, could do anything. Take
hey,
a punch.
Six foot one. See, I know you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Your brother is a huge Dinero fan. Why don't you give us what your thoughts about Dinero?
Explosive.
Yeah, that he is.
Explosive.
Yeah, yeah. Hey guys, we have a caller on here, Mel from Central Florida. Mel, how you doing?
Doing great.
Good.
I just wanted to call to tell you guys I love your program. I'm an avid fight fan, been since I was a little kid. So you guys
great.
Do a great job. Keep it up.
All right. Thank you very
How
much.
How old are you now?
Excuse me?
How old are you now?
72.
Excellent.
Well, you've been around a while. You're damn near old as me.
Yeah, I've seen all the greatest. And enjoyed the last bit of it.
That's when boxing was fantastic. You saw it all then for 72.
Oh, yes.
After the war, was fantastic. There were so many fighters around. There was, I think, I forget how many thousand fighters were licensed in the United States in the 50s, late 40s. It was thousands. It was a great era to watch boxing.
One of my favorite fighters was Hurricane Jackson. He wasn't a good fighter, but he could take a punch. I don't know if you remember him.
I do remember him very well. I remember him beating the number one contender for the heavyweight crown and knocking him out of contention, Danny Buccarone. Yeah. And they thought, why would that his manager put him in? Buccarone had a deadly right hand. He was big. And damn if Jackson didn't stop him. But he took so many punches. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He took so many punches. He was destined, to have a problem. And eventually it hurt his career. Right. Guys were just teeing off for him. And, heavyweight, they were blasting him. He's the one guy, the only guy I ever saw throw a double uppercut with both hands. If you can imagine. You remember him doing that? You get in there and throw two uppercuts. One with the right hand, one with the left hand at the same time. Everybody would laugh. He was entertaining.
Yeah.
He was entertaining.
Yeah.
He'd wear you the hell out. He'd wear you out. He was on top of you, swinging at you all the time. He'd wear you out.
I think fighters got tired just from beating up on him.
Yeah, they got tired just dealing with him, He kind of fought like a big Henry Armstrong. Henry Armstrong used to do that.
Yeah.
He had such a fast pace, he wore everybody out.
Yeah.
Nobody could stay in there with him at his pace. He wore you the hell out. So, Hurricane Jackson. Yeah, that's right around the Marciano era, the end of the Marciano era. Yeah,
Joe,
I remember
Joey
well.
And Ray, you're way too young to remember those guys. Have you ever seen the films of them?
No, I haven't. I heard of the names, though.
Uh-huh. Joey, how about you?
Yeah, I heard the names. I couldn't tell you. I can't hold a conversation.
Yeah.
you never saw them. Hell, they're 1950.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys say Christ. 1950, 52.
That was a great great Friday night fights. They were on every Friday night, and they did a fantastic job. Who was that, Chris? Gillette, was it?
Gillette. Don Dunphy was the announcer.
Right.
And did a tremendous job. And they had Monday night at the Eastern Parkway Arena in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't get national television, but it was local.
Right.
But the great fighters fought on that, too. If you made national television, you got $5,000.
Wow.
That doesn't sound like much. Well,
yep.
For $5,000 in 1950, you could buy a house anywhere.
Sure.
You want one payment.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like a lot of money, but it was.
I remember my parents in 57 buying a house down in Stone Harbor that was a duplex up and down. They bought the whole property for like $14,000 in 56 it was, and then they sold it.
You could
in 2000 for almost a half million.
It was unbelievable what a dollar got you in them days.
Yeah.
And then we're making a buck and a half an hour,
Right.
Buck and a half an hour. So when I was a laborer down at the Pennsylvania Railroad, I made a buck 40 an hour.
Yep.
And I was getting the same pay as the adult males. I was only 18, and the adult males who were millwrights, they were only making $2,
mm-hmm.
$2.25 tops. So, I mean, $5,000 was a lot of money then.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, guys,
who was one of your other favorite fighters?
Hello?
Yeah, Mel.
Who was one of your other favorite fighters besides Hurricane?
Of course, you got to get into Ali Frazier era.
Mm-hmm.
I love
that. Was
those guys. I love both fighters, Frazier and Ali.
Yeah, we had two. They were both great fighters. Both great fighters.
Yeah, both from Philadelphia at one point.
What's the best fight you ever did see? Either your person on TV.
You know, you got to go. How far you want to go back? I mean,
far back as you want to.
All right, the first great fight of all times. I'm only going to go into the 40s when Graziano and Zale fought the first two fights, and Carmen Basilio had some great fights against Tony DeMarco. Sugar Ray and Basilio was a great fight.
Yeah, that's. I was thinking Sugar Ray Basilio had great fight.
Yeah. Marciano Charles, Ezra Charles, Marciano Walcott, fantastic fight.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to go back that far. But I'm going to tell you what, Hearns and Hagler was as good as any I've ever seen.
Me too.
I mean, you know, it doesn't get any better than that. Hearns and Hagler.
Yeah.
And that was exciting.
Mm-hmm. Lee, what's your. I know you had a favorite fight you talked about. You watched with you and your dad and Ty.
I specifically remember Larry Holmes and Randall Tex Cobb, Dr. Chris's good friend.
Oh, yes.
That was a massacre. That was one. And that fight, what that was one that saw how much punishment a human being could take without going off his feet. When I saw that fight, I said, "This is inhuman. There's something wrong with this guy. He don't. How the hell can he take shot after shot? You know, and jam right hand, straight right hand, right on the chin when he was moving in. And as I told you guys, I talked to Larry Holmes later on. He said his hands got so sore punching Tex, he just quit. He said, I just figured this guy. There's no way I'm going to knock him out. He said, I'm not even going to hit him anymore. I might hurt my hands." I told you the next day he was trying to unwrap a root beer barrel, one of them candies. He couldn't work his fingers. His hands were swollen and sore. He had to get somebody to open the cellophane up.
The funniest story that Tex ever told was walking through the hotel afterwards, and Larry asked him if he could chew his mouth hurt so bad. He wanted to know if Tex could chew his eggs for him.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what happened? I got to tell you guys another story. That Howard Cosell, when he watched the fight, said, "I'll never watch another fight again. Blah blah blah. This is a disgrace to put a man in and take a beating like this." So Texas coming down from the 14th floor. Who the hell do you think is on the elevator? Howard Cosell. You know, Tex doesn't. He's not afraid to say what the hell's on his mind. He scared the hell out of Cosell. He told him off. You know, I won't tell you what he said, but he got, you know, that was like the crap. You know, it's the worst fight I ever saw in my life. I'll never watch another. I'll never narrate another fight as long as I live. And then they got on the elevator together. Oh Christ! Tex was he was a character. I mean, I was in my lifetime. I saw Jake LaMotta at his best. You know, getting the hell beat out of him. But I think the worst beating I ever saw a human being take was the night that Larry Holmes beat the hell out of Tex. Even Tex admits it. He came to my house. We had the fight show once a month. We had a fight show here, mostly when Tyson was fighting. And Tex bought his films. It was an early knockout one night, and he brought his films. And when you see it a second time, you really get shocked, you know, because while it was happening fast. But when you see it a second time and you're looking at it, you say, holy God, how the hell did he stay in there? And you know what? I mean, his mouth was swollen, his eyes were half shut. He wasn't cut, but everything on his body was swollen. Every part of his head was swollen. His eyes, his forehead, side of his head, he got cut. I think that fight put Tex up as the number one punch taker of all time, the greatest chin ever in boxing. You know? During the first half of the century, they voted on the three best punch takers of the first half of the century. It was a guy named Joe Grimm, who would get knocked down 14 or 15 times a fight. Nobody was ever able to knock him out. And then LaMotta was second, and Basilio was third. That was the National Sports Writers in 1950. And then I think if you took that a survey now, from 1950 to the year 2000, I think Tex will win hands down as the greatest chin, you know, of the century. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Ray. You want to try that one?
I never got the chance to see him fight, so.
How about you, Z?
I can't disagree with Dr. Chris. I will have to also put Holyfield up there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Joey?
As a punch taker?
Yeah.
Evander?
Yeah.
Evander never got a beating like Cobb, though. I don't ever remember Evander getting beat that bad. I mean, he was in there against some good hard punchers. He could take a punch, there's no question about it, but he never took a beating like that. You know, even against Tyson, nobody ever gave Evander a hell of a shellacking. That's why I say I rate Tex number one. I'm not saying Evander didn't have a great chin, but he just never got the hell beat out of him for 15 rounds. Don't forget
that was
15 rounds.
He didn't depend on it as much. Evander didn't depend on his chin as much.
Yeah, Evander, you know, he would tell you, he doesn't like to get hit. He said, you're going to get hit. If you're going to box, you're going to get hit. And you got to make the most of it. There's no way you're not going to get hit. He said, I never enjoyed it. I guess who the hell did? But I don't remember anybody beating Evander bad. On his way up, he had his toughest fight was against, in my mind, was against the light heavyweight, the short guy with the... short neck, Muhammad Kawhi. What did he change his name?
Braxton.
Yeah, Dwight Braxton. He gave him one hell of a fight. And he took a lot of shots that night. But Braxton wasn't in the class of, as a puncher as Larry Holmes was. Larry Holmes used to throw that jab from the hip and it would hit you on the bottom of the nose. It felt like it was tearing your damn nose off. He used to throw it up like, you know, slam it with man. It was a terrible, awful jab to get hit with. I think he had one of the best jabs of any of the heavyweights of all times. And he knew how to use it, too.
I agree.
Would you say Larry Holmes was underrated?
Well, he came along in an era where he had to beat Ali. And he wasn't a showman, Ali was. And he never got due credit for as good as he was. He never got due credit. He could have retired undefeated, and he kept fighting. And he could have retired as the second undefeated heavyweight champion of the world, but he didn't want to do it. But yeah, I have to say, when you start discussing great heavyweights, nobody throws Larry Holmes' name out there. Nobody.
I think that has a lot to do with era and competition, maybe. Because when you think of great heavyweights, you tend to go to certain eras where the competition is thicker.
He didn't have the competition all he had. He didn't have anybody that would give him a great fight, you know. Jerry Quarry, Jerry Cooney. That was a pretty damn good fight. Cooney was a great puncher. He threw him in against Larry with 15 fights. He really wasn't ready for Larry. And Larry hung on. He blasted Larry in the ribs a couple times. I thought he killed him. But that was, you know, Larry Holmes beat everybody. What can I say? But he's not ranked high at all. I don't care who you ask, if you ask for the top five heavyweights of all time, nobody will mention his name. It's funny that, but that's the way it is, He had to beat Ali. He gave Ali a shellacking when Ali, and he didn't even want to fight Ali. Ali was over the hill when he fought him. And then it was a lull in the heavyweight division while he was champion. He fought guys like Ronaldo, Snipes. I'll tell you who stung him and dropped him. The guy in Tex fought. Boy, I thought he was gone that night. But he got up, pulled the decision out. He pulled it out. He might have knocked out. He might have won that fight by a knockout before the night was over. But he really didn't have the competition to go down as one of the greats,
Well, guys, we're up against the clock here. I want to thank everybody, especially Ray, for coming on. Ray, tell us again your next fight.
It's August 2nd. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate it.
Okay, Joey.
The new Ray Robinson. I'm going to come
right,
watch
the new Ray Robinson.
Are you going to be down Dover?
No, he's going to be at the
Bob
Center.
I don't know where the fight's going to be at, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be in Delaware.
It's at the Bob Carpenter Center.
I'll come by. Joey, I got to come watch it.
You got to come.
I'm going to read the Wilmington paper. I'm going to see when you're fighting.
Me and Ray will be on the same card in August.
There we go.
All right. I'll bring my sons down.
Well, they're doing the reunion. Remember, Joey's doing one in 2 weeks, too, up at the deck there in Essington, Chris, with your old buddy Phil.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll call Marty up. I got to give Marty a call, say hello. And I'll probably get tickets from him.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Okay. Take care.
Okay, Chris.
Right,
thank
you.
Joey, thanks
for having me, you guys.
Thank you.
Tell us again your next. You got one coming up on the 27th in Essington, and then you have one coming up on the 2nd of August at the Carpenter Center, right?
Yep, that's correct.
And then anything other than that that you got coming up?
I'm not sure about July. I have a press conference tonight with for the fight on the 27th, so I'll find out hopefully about July. And then August, like I said, me and Ray are going to be at the Bob Carpenter Center, and then August 23rd is at Dover Downs. So, that's a little bit of a struggle as of right now, but we're going to take care of the 27th before we worry about all the other ones. So,
yeah, sure.
That's it as of now, though. So,
well, that's good. We want to get you on after your after this fight, and then so we can wish you good luck for the next one. So if you could plan, maybe we'll call you the following week and get a chance to talk to you.
Yeah, whenever you want to call.
Okay, great. Appreciate
thanks for having
hello
me.
To your dad and mom. We always love talking to them.
Sounds good. I'll let them know you guys are asking for them.
All right, please.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
Ray, take care of yourself, and we want to get you on after the second, so we'll plan for the week of the 9th to have you on and tell us how you were you're victorious.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Hey. See.
I just want to thank our guest, Ray Robinson, the new Ray Robinson, no sugar. I want to thank Joey Tiberi. I want to thank Dr. Chris as always. And I want to thank our special guest caller. Please call again. Definitely. Please call again. And these shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Butch?
Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for being on with us. The new Ray Robinson, Chris Panarella, Joey Tiberi, from the long line of Joe, Dave, Mario, and now Joey. Appreciate everything that Zito, all the preparation you do for the show. Mel, we want to thank you for calling in. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see someone in uniform, please just walk up and say either have a good day, be safe, brother, or thank you. It means a lot to all of us. These programs are especially dedicated to members of our profession that have lost their lives, especially Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Kolkap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Curtis, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longwood Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford of the Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro of the Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Alonzo Moses of the Philadelphia Uniform Division, Patrolman Brian Murphy of the Plymouth Township Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary of the Philadelphia Fire Department, Assistant Chief Mike Godwin of the Philadelphia Fire Department, and our latest entry, MIT Officer Sean Collier. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night.
Shema Ezahir Ma Son Hashem Evorat Fet HaKuig Again Ma Yer Ma
Shema Lech Ma Yer Ma Shema Ezahir Ma Son Hashem
respond to his list. Call. May God rest his soul. Night, Bob.